Welcome to the Christ Life 2021. We want you to be part and partner in the Christ Life. Over the next 12 weeks, we're going to be looking at Scripture. We're going to be making sure Scripture is part of our everyday life. Why should it be the Bible be part of our everyday life? Because Jesus is part of our everyday life. And that's really what we're going to focus on over the next 12 weeks. We want you to join with us in that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want you to be all out Jesus people. Way back in the day, in the early 70s, when I first met the Lord, it was because I met a group of people who were just unabashedly just all out there as Jesus people. And in fact, that was the kind of the name that was given to that whole revival, the Jesus people. Well, here's the good news. It's a whole bunch of years later, and I'm still a Jesus person. I'm still that kind of person. And I regularly identify with, when I'm identifying with people and identifying myself and my perspectives on life, I usually put this little caveat in the front, this little, it's not a disclaimer, it's a claimer. Is what it is. But I tell them, I'm a Bible person. And I mean that sincerely, that I think everybody needs to be, if you're going to be a Jesus person, if we're going to be all about this Christ life faith, if we're going to be all about this living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be a Bible person, because He's the Word made flesh, but this is the Word of God. This is the eternal truth that God has chosen to communicate with us. And so, I come by it pretty easily because, again, and I brought a few with me. I'm a Bible person. This is the proof. Somebody had said it this way. If you see someone whose Bible is literally falling apart, it's pretty sure that they're not falling apart. But that I brought these only because I want you to understand that this book doesn't jump off the shelf and attack you. It's not going to force itself upon you. You're going to have to take the time and make the effort to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God. And I realize that there are many excuses out there for not doing this. We want to take those away from you. So over the next 12 weeks, we actually want to engage with you in a journey through redemption story. We want to engage with you in the narrative of God working by His Word, by His Spirit, through His Son, among people in the earth. And so you get this beginning of a once upon a time when God starts this to the happily ever after conclusion. And we're going to actually ask you and encourage you to kind of come along with us for the journey. Those who are right close enough to put hands on and sit together in the same room and share this journey together, we're going to be able to have a small group kind of, you know, methodology for that. But for those of you who are at a distance, who are only connecting with us online, we're gonna make these same things available to you. And so everything that we talk about, the methodologies that we're going to unpack today, even all of these things are going to be available to you just by clicking the links that you will see that we're going to provide for you. But back in the day, when I was almost 21 years of age, living in the northeastern part of the United States, and my story, I don't want to wear you out with the whole thing, but I believed in God because I'm intelligent. I think it's unintelligent not to believe in God. If you believe that everything that is that exists today just accidentally happened, there's a word for that, and it's just stupid. You know, that's just about the dumbest thing. Accidentally, all of this just happened. It just, you know, if you believe that, you should be throwing car parts up in the air in your backyard, just random car parts, a bolt, a nut, or whatever, because surely, eventually, accidentally, a Mercedes-Benz or a Lamborghini will drop out of the sky miraculously. Of course, it won't happen. Just like the earth didn't just happen. God created the heaven and the earth. And so I believe that God created the earth, but I believe that God wound up the universe and kind of walked away, that He was unengaged in what was going on. And especially as a teenager in the 60s, you know, that just kind of, it just, the world didn't look like God was very much in charge. And so imagine my surprise when on a Tuesday evening in a Dairy Queen parking lot, I encountered for the very first time Christians. I'd never met one before. And you could tell who they were because they had such joy, such a wonderful, vibrant spirit. They just were all, they were together. They were like, they looked like me. They, you know, they were young like we were, but their attitude, their heart, their spirit, something inside of them just literally just impacted my life from the very first moment. And I remember standing there just absolutely shocked, amazed, impressed, but convinced as well that God was alive and he was well and he was working in the earth. And it was because I read not the Bible, but the lives of these people. They impacted me. And so I started from the very first meeting to attend the meetings that they had. I was in a Dairy Queen parking lot because I was selling drugs. I was just part of my lifestyle at that point in my life. They were in a Dairy Queen parking lot because they had just gotten out of a prayer gathering in a chiropractor's basement within about a 2-mile area. And so having the munchies, just like we drug users did, they rolled in to get something of a snack and a dessert. And so it was just this very chance meeting, but it was not at all by chance. It was by choice that I then began to pursue them. And I went to the meetings and I would sit in these meetings and I would listen to them sing and worship and talk about the things that God was doing in their lives and what God was saying to them. And it was so impressive to me, Rich. I just thought, clearly these people know God. Clearly God is conversing with these people. And I want God to converse with me. I want to know God in this way. But I knew that I didn't. And so I would ask them these questions. And they looked at me like, well, sure, it's all right there in the Bible. And I thought, okay, the Bible? Like, you mean like the Bible, like the old book, like the Quran, like the Upanishads and the Veda and the various old extant writings? And they say, oh, no. The Holy Bible is Jesus' book. It's everything. It's all about Jesus. And I just thought, Jesus has a book? Holy mackerel. I need to have one of these. If Jesus has a book, I got to get a book. And so I asked my mom, who worked in the city and had access every day to stores and various things like that. We were a little outside of the city where we lived. And I said, Mom, can you get me a Bible? And so I think after she picked herself up off the floor, she decided, oh, yeah, I can do that. She came home that day with what I owned and claimed as my very first Bible. Now, these are much more recent Bibles than that. But my very first Bible was what they call a children's Bible. I didn't know that. I didn't know they came in really cool burgundy colors and black colors and blue and various things. Had no clue about those kind of things. My Bible had a kind of a gray-looking cover with a colorful pictures and a picture of a boat and giraffes and elephants on the front. And it was this whole Noah's Ark theme children's Bible. I didn't know. It was the Bible. And I remember I was just so excited that I finally had Jesus' book in my hands. And so I sat down the very first day and I opened it and I began to read at page one, sure that I'm going to find the Jesus story. It takes, just in case you haven't read the Bible yet, it takes a really long time when you start at page one to get to the, at least to perceive that you're getting to the Jesus story in the book. And I just have to tell you, it wasn't the easiest journey. This is why we've created over the years this redemption story, this pathway where you begin to discover the actual narrative of God and how he works through his word in the earth. And so this is the reality. They told me on day one, this is Jesus' book. And when I began to read it, I couldn't quite see that my first journey through. It took me some time. In fact, there were several parts where I just got so frustrated and tired because I thought, where is Jesus going to show up? I thought, surely, my first journey through the Bible, when I read about Jericho and they're going to go into this city and they're going to kill everything that moves, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, surely on the next page, Jesus is going to show up and he's going to save all these people. And nah, he doesn't show up at all. And so on and on and on I go. I finally get to Matthew and I read these words. This is the record of the generation, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of the son of the son. I was so excited. I read every name, every word. In fact, I was so excited to find Matthew that after I read all of its chapters, I read Matthew a second time. because I just thought, wow, this is cool. And then I read Mark and I thought, okay, I just read this twice. Mm-hmm. And then I read Luke. And I have to say, by the time I got to Luke, I'm thinking, okay, I pretty much know where the seed falls. You know, that there's the side of the pathway, there's the thorns, there's the this. I know what the birds do. I kind of have a handle on some of these things. And then when I started to read John, I thought, okay, this is the plot. They make you wait forever to get to the Jesus story. And then they just tell you the same thing again and again and again. And so as I started to read John, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to jump to the end and I'm going to read the last, what I considered was a chapter. I now know it's 66 books, but the last chapter was this revelation idea. And so I read through the revelation just to make sure it wasn't the same story. And clearly the revelation wasn't the same story. It wasn't. Now, I know for all of you who are maybe Bible students or fancy yourself students of prophecy, this whole revelation thing is like, ooh, that must have been really confusing to you. In fact, it was not at all confusing to me. As a brand new, in fact, not even sure I was yet a Christian, on the edge of wanting to know God, here's what I got out of Revelation the first time through. God, this story ends really well. And it doesn't really end, it kind of transitions, but it transitions from a once upon a time beginning to a very happily ever after conclusion. And so I just realized when I read through that for the very first time that this is the word of God. Jesus is actually the truth. And now that I've read it literally several hundred times over these years, I am absolutely convinced and tell you with absolute assurance, everything in the Bible is about Jesus. This book is about Jesus. The scripture that we want to kind of highlight today from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says it this way, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the equipping, the completeness, is the fullness that you and I receive when we receive the living word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. You know, a person can know Jesus without the Bible. They just can't know Jesus well without the Bible. Throughout history, there have been times where reading has not been something that was caught to the common man. So God is beyond the book. But here's the great thing. God is the book. He's in the book. He's part of the book. He's active in the book. Yes. And when I actually became a Christ follower, I hadn't read a book. I actually went through high school without ever reading a book. I had girlfriends that read the book and helped me with the book report. So I that's how I got through. But when I became a follower of Jesus, I knew the Bible had to be an important part of my life. But I didn't just start at page one and go to the end, because I had somebody in my life who was guiding me in the process. They said, read the book of John and read Proverbs. They knew, you know, Proverbs is for people who just need a lot of wisdom, and I had zero. And so they knew that. And so that's where I started. But it immediately became a normal part of everyday life for me. Don't know how many times I've been through the Bible. I do know that over the last 5 years, I could probably count on one, maybe two hands of days that I've not been in Scripture, because it's always been such a value for me, knowing that this is such an incredible connecting and growing place in the Lord. And we live in such a day of abundance. And whenever you have abundance, you tend to devalue that which you have a lot of. And where you've got I didn't bring any of my old Bibles, but I've got my old Bibles that, you know, I've went through. But at some point, I went electronically. I like living life on the edge of technology. So I've got my notes in my iPad that transfer to my phone, that transfer to my computer. So it's all there for me. It's how I approach Scripture. But in my phone alone, using one app, it's called the YouVersion. We'll put a link of that down below for you. But the YouVersion has over 100 different versions of the Bible. It is plentiful. And so actually what's happened in our society is people have devalued Scripture. There's a great video on YouTube of Chinese people who are, you know, they're in a communist country closed to the gospel, where they meet in secret, where they don't have access to scriptures like we have access to. There's a great video of them getting the Bible for the first time, and you see the joy, you see the excitement, you see the love and the desire for the book, because they know that the Bible isn't just another book. In fact, if you've been just kind of doing religion, then really the Bible is just another book. It's just something you pull off the shelf and you do your duty of going through. It's not alive, it's not active in such a way that you find the treasure inside of it, that you look for and go after the preciousness of that which is found in it. But there are probably a couple different ways that we know that Scripture is more than just a book. I want to give a couple of them really quickly to you. At first, there's this unity in diversity in the Bible. There's 60 different books that all, you know, we've put along the way chapters in them, but 60 different books that are, or excuse me, 66 different books that
are written. I hope there are 66.
Yeah, 66 books written by 40 different authors, but over a 1,500-year period of time.
Sure.
So there's a lot of different personalities that come into the writing of the scriptures. And here's the great thing about it. It doesn't matter if it was by Moses that early portion of scripture from the very beginning of Genesis, that was handed down, not by writing. It was orally handed down. They told the story over and over and over and over again. And yet we're able to keep the purity of the story and the continuity of the story, all the same. And then when they started writing it, even though you had authors over hundreds and, you know, over a 1,500 year period of time that wrote, it all agreed with itself all along the way. And so we have these diverse times, you have these diverse peoples, but even in the diversity of this, when you think about, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, there are different cultures. There are different types of people. The way they approached marriage in you actually went and found your spouse. Oh, I would not want that responsibility for any of my kids. But there were cultures, and there are cultures that they actually choose their spouses for their children. Well, the Bible is applicable to them in that form of culture as much as it is in our culture, where people really kind of choose. They feel like that's their soulmate or that's the person. It's still applicable in its diversity of all the different kinds of culture. And what you find is back then or now, doesn't matter if you're married or if you're single, if you're rich or poor, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere, there are similarities in this. We all live in darkness, but the Bible provides the light so we can walk in light while we live in darkness. It ultimately allows us to live in a world of lies, and I think of a day more now than ever where we're just like, you know, whoa, you could, it used to be you didn't know what you could read as truth. Now you can watch on video and not sure what is truth. And so we kind of live in this world of lies, but we walk in the truth because of Scripture. And all this diversity that's out there allows us to have this light unto our feet. In fact, in the very first chapter of John says it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and these things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That it is what allows us in this amazingly dark and lie-filled world to walk in a place of confidence and in a place of really a growing relationship with the Lord. But not only is there unity and diversity, but there's also the Bible there was survival in the middle of all this savagery, because you think about books as a whole. What makes this book different is that this book here has survived. They say that the average book only survives 20 years. There's a very small percentage that lasts 100 years. There's even a smaller percentage that lasts 1,000 years.
Right.
This is the only book that has been outlawed. In fact, right currently in the world today, there are 50 countries where you are not allowed to own this particular book. Out of all the books in the world, there's a problem with this book. In the first 300 years after Christianity got started, Roman emperor after Roman emperor attempted to destroy completely every form of the Bible that existed. There has always been this desire to snuff out the light. There's always been a desire to really keep the truth from spreading through and amidst all the different lies that are out there. But I think there's even one bigger thing that comes into this. And the writer of Hebrews, Paul, really just kind of nails this real clearly in chapter 4. He says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who must give an account." So what you find is that while there's this amazing diversity and there's this incredible desire to destroy and get rid of the Bible, there's one author, there's one Holy Spirit, there's one God who has protected, who has brought it all together. But what you find in that, because there is a God associated with this book, because the Holy Spirit is active in this book, there's a reason that throughout the ages, humanity has tried to destroy and get rid of the Bible is because it is alive and active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no other book in all of the Library of Congress that has caused more division, that has caused more angst between humanity than the Bible. Why? Because God uses it to show humanity who they are so they can understand the absolute need for a Savior, so they can understand the desire for the Savior who comes and makes a difference for them. And those that want to live in darkness, those who want to shun everything to do with the living and an active God, are going to do everything they can to destroy the Scriptures. But God, because it's God-breathed, because it's active, because it is God-inspired, God protects it. And God has made sure that the thread from beginning to end is all cohesive.
Amen. It is all about Jesus.
Amen.
He is the Word made flesh. And so there's the beauty of all of this. And the reason we're focused on this for these next, well, I guess months it will be when you consider the full 12-week kind of thing, 10 weeks of the redemption story journey and these couple of weeks to kind of get you ready for this. The reason for all of this is so that you can have a tremendous sense of confidence that this living relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ isn't some brand new something. This is the eternally true Word of God to us. And so there is a confidence that's birthed inside of us and the conviction that this word of truth isn't just true for me. It's not just true for the 21st century person. It's not just true for my world right now. This is true for everybody, everywhere, in every culture, for all of the ages of humankind, because it is the true eternal Word of God. And so we have this conviction and this confidence that causes us to want to communicate with everybody everywhere every day. And what we want to communicate is not just the latest YouTube this or the coolest video we've just seen or we're going to retweet all of these opinions. We want to speak and teach and think and live from this place of absolute confidence and conviction. We want to communicate this truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so this is why we want you to journey with us through this redemption story. And so what we're going to do is on the 11th of this month, that's we're going to next Sunday as well, we're going to be hitting this and kind of teaching some things from this. But then from the 11th on, we want you each day to take five chapters from this redemption story. And we want you to not just read through it, but we want you to journal from this. We want you to take the time to actually write some things down. And the acronym that we want to help you with, it's not original with us, but is SOAP. is we want you to, there'll be a scripture that sort of stands out in there, and we want you to write that scripture down. What are the observations that you make about what's actually going on in the scripture? And then in your world, how does that apply? What does that look and feel like to you? And then express that in a prayer. Just write that down in a prayer, and we'll take you through some examples and help you. And there's going to be training available. You'll see links for all of these things. So you won't be alone in this journey, and we want to help you with this. But if you'll do that, then at the end of each week, you're going to have literally seven different kind of versions of this thing. You'll have seven pages worth of observations. You will have seven times where God is significantly communicating something to you, and where you're able to respond in a prayer, where you're able to see this begin to start to work itself out in your life. And this redemption story, it becomes the story of your life. And so that's really what we want. We unashamedly, we're Bible people because we're Jesus people, but we want you as a Jesus person to be a Bible person as well, in Jesus' name.
And we'll have all the schedule of all the readings in a link found down below. You can go ahead and click on that and receive it. Because here's the exciting thing. God's going to be speaking to you during that time. He's going to be speaking to us, because the sermons we bring are going to be out of the same exact scriptures. And we're just believing God's best for you. So remember, be part of the Christ life. Be part and partner. God bless. Look forward to seeing you next time.